Good evening, everyone. Good evening. You have tuned in to Radiance by Design. Radiance. Why radiance? Well, because our energy sticks out of our body, and what's it got in it? It's got a lot of messages, not just through your voice, which counts for a whole lot of it, but through how you radiate in your aura, in your energy fields, how you go into the world, who you attract, who you magnetize, who you repel, and so on, comes a lot from the radiance. And we're radiating a lot of beliefs and things that come from other lives, from the journey of your soul, from past reactions. And this is a show all about you and all about me, and how when we get conscious of what we're radiating out into the world, and we can learn to change it to what we really want it to be, we can create our reality a lot more consciously. And you know, it hit me tonight, I was just telling Bob, that what hit me really hard tonight, like a ton of bricks, is what our subjective reality is the most powerful tool we've got in all of our lifetimes, in all of our journeying as a spirit being and as a soul and a person in creation. And what I wanted to talk about tonight was enslavement. We went last weekend to see David Icke. Some of you know who he is. I wasn't so sure. I was hot on his material some years ago because I was afraid of it, and I kind of ignored it for a while. And, of course, through the years, I've learned a lot about some of the dominant forces that affect our species, that come to our planet, and so on. So here we are living in a little wee town called Bellingham, adorable little town just south of Canada on the west coast. And Icke came through town to talk about his amazing comprehensions of the powers that be and the slavery that exists and how we're going to break out of it and so on. And it was a very, very, I have to say, delightful experience, some of which was eased by the fact that through the years we've heard lots of it. And some of it was really made more delightful by his personal journeying, which has been very intense and very self-illuminating, and his conclusion, which is as we become the same thing that we're learning on this show and many of the other BBS shows and other consciousness shows, that the more aware we are about who we are and the more authentic we are, the more empowered we are. And that cycles me back to how we are to a degree enslaved at this time on the planet by several, if not more than that, issues. Most of which can be applied directly to the fact that they stop us from being a very, very empowered being. We limit ourselves behind these influences and kind of ride there complaining and thinking that our power is blocked. Let's talk about those tonight, and let's talk about unblocking our limitations. Let's talk about shifting and changing our thoughts, feelings, attitudes, and beliefs consciously in order to move into presenting ourselves in the world as a very authentic, powerful being. But not only in the world, it's in the whole universe, isn't it? Our subjective reality is extremely powerful. And when we shift it, we shift our radiance consciously, and we shift everything that's happening in our world. So join me tonight as we join ourselves, one another, in the Radiance by Design community. We're going to start off with a sacred geometric structure, and in this structure we learn to be able to make ourselves safe, to be able to give ourselves an authentic space where we can protect ourselves from absorbing most of the collective or most of the stuff around us, and enough to help us authenticate our real self, to help us clear and help us to redesign who we are. So we start with that, and then we want your calls. We're going to talk more about what enslaves us, how do we release ourselves from it. We're going to talk about a lot of things. You know, that's probably a simple way of putting it. So let's all start. We'll go into the sacred geometric structure now. We're going to do one of the things that I was talking to the guides about, or the guides were talking to me about, is that the flow that comes through us, let me say it in a different way, the way we're attached to our identity or who we are is a really important form of, I'll use the term, enslavement. okay? And then what they were saying is right at the beginning of being in the sacred geometric structures, when we go into this first vision of who we are and who we really want to be, I always say I want to be multidimensional. But they said tonight, let's all go in there and see ourselves detaching, moving away from our identities as they are, and deep inside, drop deep inside in that vision of self and allow the motion or the flow of your perceptions, of your consciousness, of your subjective reality. Take up, let the motion pick up and move on through you so that you're not being stymied or stuck by attachments to various identifications of self. Does that make sense? So we're going to go into the sacred geometrics. We're going to be up on that crystal grid. And the first vision we're going to have is setting ourselves up to be what we really want to be. And inside of that part of ourselves, we're going to release consciously our attachments to our identity, our identities, and allow the flow to run through us. It's the flow of consciousness. It's the flow of your soul journey. It's the flow of your spirit, whatever else it's going to be. And after that, we'll go into a project we're going to create beside it along the way on the crystal grid. Then we'll go into the Galactic Healing Center. And then we'll do a little bit of political stuff. And we'll come back in, spinning up on our sacred geometric form. And then we're going to just chat. And hopefully you're going to call in and tell me how you're doing with some of these issues of enslavement or personal release or becoming authentic and other things. All right. Here we go. Are you ready for our little wild ride? Maybe not so wild ride. This is a ride that's as much inside as anything. Now envision above your head, perhaps 2 miles, a golden ball. And below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And let's drop a filament of golden light from the upper golden ball through your spine and into the lower golden ball. And then from the upper golden ball to about your waist, remember about 20 feet out from the waist, drop a four-sided pyramid, all the lines of which are gold, gold light. And then upside down, matching the points of the base of this pyramid, another four-sided pyramid, and its point meets the lower golden ball. So you're in a golden-lined octahedron. Now inside of that, create a crystalline ball. Oh my, it's all sparkling and opaque and spectral. And inside of that, there you are. And you're in a form, you're in the star, it's like a Star of David, it's a star tetrahedron. And it's like a three-dimensional Star of David, and you're spinning and spinning and spinning it. Spin and spin and spin. Oops, my arms already feel like they're just flinging apart. And as you spin, see that crystalline grid in front of you. And on the grid, the first image that you create, the first movie you create of something that you want to participate in, is you yourself. And remember what we said is we're going to see ourselves way inside of that and take a look at all the attachments that we have to who I am. I'm a mother, a grandmother, an intuitive, a healer, a transdimensional wannabe. I want to really move dimensions. All these other things. Ex-Catholic, educated, used to be a teacher. How many other identities can you think of? Yeah, just list all of these identities and see how they're attached to who you are inside. Your subjective world is defined by that, and its relativeness to everything in your external life. Okay? And release as many of those attachments as you can. and allow the consciousness of life and all that is to flow through you. Mm-hmm. It's funny, when you do that, you can feel yourself being, what would we say, kind of free, being like a spirit being. And all these definitions of who you've been and who you want to be float away. And can you feel a kind of emotion running through you like a stream? Yeah. I can. What does it feel like? What I hear is you can feel like it's infinite possibility. What do you feel like? Now let's wrap that wonderful scenario in light. There's a rushing stream moving through it. And let's move along our little crystal grid. And there, we're going to do a project. What's the project that you want, whether it's home and family, something very personal, or a business, a book, an invention, a healing style, trip, new kinds of jobs. Okay, and see yourself, see the resources, the people, the connections it takes for your project to come together. Mm-hmm. And see yourself enjoying those connections, pulling your project together, and seeing it be very, very fruitful and successful. If it's a business, see the monies or the resources coming to sustain it. And if it's home and family, you see all that coming together to sustain that and the love and the connection. I think even in business, we want the love and the connection. Or a book, the inspiration. Mm-hmm. Good. And see it sustaining itself. I think I said that. And now wrap it in light. Oh, yes. I was told to see yourself chuckling and enjoying it. Wrap it in light. And let's move to the next one, the Galactic Healing Center. And in your Galactic Healing Center, see your healing table and call in your team, your healing team, and have them surround the table. The first person you lay on the table is yourself. And you might need some specific healing, in which case you can ask for that. Otherwise, ask them what it is that you would do well to heal. Mm-hmm. And see what they do for you or say to you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes parts of you will talk to them, parts of you will be responded to by them. Okay. And now why don't you ask the team if they have any special messages for you to help you realize yourself or move beyond. And sometimes you want to jot down what they say. That's wonderful. I just got a lovely message. I don't know if I'll share it right now. Think about it and then maybe share it later in the show. What did you get? Maybe you'll share it too. And now let's wrap that in light and let ourselves stew and be enjoyed and enjoy ourselves in a state of rest and peace and support. And now let's do another healing table. And who else do you want to bring in? Mm-hmm. And good. And who comes in? I get a couple. Every now and then this happens, I get a couple. So I put out two tables. And then the team works around each one and helps them break some of the bondage that their subconscious is holding and sharing. Who did you bring in, and what's going on with them? Probably maybe all healing has to do with breaking bondage to the subconscious. Mm-hmm. Yeah. right. And then wrap that in light and ask if there's any special messages for them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, one of the things, the messages that I'm getting about my couple, and this doesn't have to be for you, but I think it's for all of us, is that each of them really needs to sit and hear and know the other one, because that's not going on right now, which means that it's like a ping-pong game. You just have bats instead of the reality, subjective reality. Wrap that in light. Let's do one more. And in comes this final person. Okay. It's got a physical illness in my world. Mm-hmm. Let's see what the team wants to do with them. Okay. And now ask how they'll... All right, so they're pulling things out. One of them's got kind of like a vacuum. It's pulling stuff out of this one's belly area, the subconscious. That's it. This person has a physical injury, but the subconscious is what's really creating it. And they're just like they're vacuuming it. Tremendous amount of energy being pulled out of the belly. That prevents that person from being present and authentic, which means the person's in isolation, really feels lonely and lost. Good. Now wrap that in light. Wrap that in light, and we'll see that that light balances out, this continues to balance out this person while the percolation of these changes in the subconscious can go on. Yes. Now, let's call up a political scenario. Yeah, we'll call up a political scenario with maybe our Mr. Obama, or perhaps something of the full world's political structure. That's a bit much. Let's just pick up Obama and the American administration, political center of America. And then let's just wrap that in light, wrap it in pink light. Mm-hmm. And let's just send a bright pink light through the top of our heads, out through our chest, and to Mr. Obama, and to the various arms of his administration, to actually help people resolve their inner, what would conflicts and inner greeds or whatever, inner personal defenses, in order to raise their frequency and move to a higher level. So we're sending this pink light of harmony to our American government, all the individuals, and then swoop, it's going over to the various hot spots in the world. Mm-hmm. I see 3 or 4, 5. You probably read better news than I do. I'm not really up to date on the news, but I'm seeing Israel and Korea. And there's a place in Eastern Europe that looks like a pretty big hot place. Well, it might be Afghanistan, but I think it's another one. Mm. And different places where people are starving or really suffering. And now surround the entire globe with this pink light of harmony. And see yourself in your brain, your subjectivity is having tremendous vision for this world, that we can evolve so that we're living in harmony and win-win for all of us. And when you've got the whole world swaddled in pink, bring the pink back through your chest and fill yourself with the light of harmony. Now close off the healing room. We might wrap it with pink as well. And move into your spinning star tetrahedron, or go into it and start it spinning. Spin and spin and spin and spin. Good work. And now come on back into the room. So I wonder what that was like. I wonder if any of you was able to feel the flow moving through your subjective world. I could, but it was a bit of a struggle. And when I started picking off the strings of or my attachments to various identities, it seemed like there were a number of them. Did any of you have that kind of experience? So one of the reasons I wanted to talk about being enslaved is because, as I said, we went to see David Icke. And he's the fellow, for those of you who don't know, that got to talking about Queen Elizabeth having reptilian being a lizard underneath it all. There's been a lot of jokes made about it, but what he said was that we have these tremendous cellular races of different levels of integrity and consciousness, different levels of dimensions, that actually conscript consciousness on our planet, and that some of them, they cannot come onto the planet. I don't want to go into all of this stuff. But in any case, they can't come onto the planet because frequency-wise they can't fit here. But some of the interactions, places of interaction are darker feelings, lots of fear-based feelings. So when we emit the energy of being afraid, terrified, and so on, they can sustain themselves on that kind of energy. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, everything is energy. So we're trying to consciously raise our frequency. And these beings who have kept control, according to Icke and some others, have kept control of the human species through these kind of nefarious means, meaning that they're not on the up and up. They're hidden from us. We can't really see them because they're on a different dimensional level, different vibrational level. And so he talked a lot about us being enslaved. We could probably discuss that for a long time, and I don't intend to say that I'm absolutely right about this, but we're working on this concept. And when he says enslaved, it's, for example, we have going on right now in the media, we have probably, I don't know how many shows a week that are on murder. Murder, 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 and more murder. Most of the news and all that kind of stuff is all about what's going wrong, what's going wrong, what's going wrong. And some of the most amazing, exciting things that are going right, you don't hear about on the news. Because, according to all of this kind of thinking, what happens with people all over the world is where we're being fear-induced, we get kind of a rush, like an addiction to that dramatic energy which shifts our biochemistry and so on. But we also then emit the kind of frequencies that keep this conscripting race alive around us in another dimension. I think that's a really good thumbnail way of putting it. Anyway, so one of the things we do know is that the fear-induced media stuff has really created a lot of problems in our thinking. If we are infinite possibility and our subjectivity is the most powerful thing in the universe and we have absolutely no idea how powerful we are, we can shift dimensions, we can move in and out of our, and there are people who claim to be doing this too. We can shift dimensions, we can move out of our limited spheres, our limited realities, willy-nilly. But if we're afraid, we really can't, can we? First of all, if you're really afraid, the stress chemicals in the brain alone prevent us from having intuition, prevent us from having great flashes of insight, prevent us from having the feeling of freedom that teaches us to seek these higher ways of doing it. So the question is, are we really enslaved by that? By the media, I'd have to say, I don't know if I want to get into believing in other beings offshore. I kind of do, actually, but I don't want to believe in that to say that we can actually be enslaved by just using the media to keep ourselves afraid. Not just the media, but the media and then all the offshoot drama stories that come from the kind of societies we live in, where we live in fear all the time. If we stay in fear, we're enslaved. There's no question. I had a fellow named Don Goey on my show on Tuesday. He is just wonderful. I've had him on twice. And he's talking about going through some really big crises and then spending time and having an epiphany, spending time in the dead of night, not able to sleep because his life was falling apart, his health was falling apart, he was losing his job, he was losing his wife, and he's going, what on earth is it all about? And all of a sudden, in this really very, very terrifying plunge that was going on inside of him, he seems to have hit bottom in the middle of the night. What happened there is he suddenly felt peace and he felt loved. Who by? Who knows? So we just say it's the love of the universe. And then his climb back up began, where he recognized that peace was a very, very powerful place for the subjectivity to go, for that inner part of us to go to. Because when you do that, it changes all the biochemistry in your body, your health improves, your attitude gets really different. People want to be around you. Instead of attracting negation and attracting rejection and all of that, instead, what are you doing? You're attracting possibility, you're attracting insight, you're attracting intuition, and he just evolved himself into someone who really, well, he began to learn a great deal about parts of the brain. Not just that, he just began to move through a whole new life where his life came back together and he began to work with people about, for example, moving into peace, even under the most trying circumstances, and finding that they began to have, I think in quotes on the interview with him, something like the amazing dignity that human beings can have inside, whether you're in a jail for life, in San Quentin for life, or whether you're in a refugee camp, or, you know, that when we move from fear into peace, then you have a life that is really worth living. Another way to interpret that, and he has some great stories. His book is called Mystic Cool. I'm not meaning to advertise him, but his teachings the other night were just really heart-expanding. And that's the other thing. If we come from the heart instead of the brain, then instead of living in fear, we're going to be living in possibility, aren't we? And we're also going to be living with concern for one another. So here's some of the things. Oh, first I'll give you the numbers, and then I want to talk about some of the things that happen that enslave us. And, of course, I want to say what else we can do instead of being enslaved. Okay. The number is 888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. And I think that's enough number for now. And my guides reminded me at the beginning to please keep your questions. I love it when you call in. And they said, you got a couple of callers coming who are really going to help dig through this subject and help awaken people to that subject. So please try to stick to at least the periphery of this subject, if not smack dab in the center of it. I love your calls, though. All right, so what we were talking about is waves of being enslaved. So we have, like, the economics, the global elite that runs, supposedly, anyway, the global elite, which is, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds. There's supposed to be some global elite families that actually run the whole economic doodah all over the planet. And my understanding of that is those are not people that are just alive this time. They're beings who are part of this network of beings that are in a different dimension. So their families, people are born and die in that pool of energy. That's my understanding of it. And that there's real organized control of the economics on our planet. And that includes how we create wars, how we create poverty-struck areas, how we just scour certain areas for the resources, and all of that. There is an overall plan. Now, I used to chortle behind my hand and say, yeah, right, all that conspiracy, hoo-ha. But you know what? With the last economic collapse and the other one that's supposed to be pending, I really think it's true. My guides keep saying the stock market, play the stock market right now, but it's very controlled. So don't think that you're really free about it. So let's just play with that. What is it you know about economics? And really, I'll go through the little list of the things that I made that control us. This is something that's bugged me pretty much all my life, and I'm not really, really extreme on this. I'm just real conscious of it, that our food supply has been controlled, and it's really been contaminated. And any of you that's ever dealt with addictions of any kind, food cravings, strange ADD, ADHD, nervousness, rashes, and so on, look at our food supply. How many additives are there in our foods? And what do they do to people? We used to think that it didn't matter that, you know, the body could cope with anything. It isn't true, is it? How many cancers have developed themselves over the last 50 years as the increase in food additives keeps going? And I really think now, too, that's a way of being enslaved. We live in a Native American community, or there's a rather large one around us, and we know that, for example, that indigenous people don't have the, what you call it, the enzymes, the makeup to cope with broken foods, the processed food, the white flours, the white sugars, all of that stuff, the alcohol, the soda, and so on. And all the little convenience stores around our Native American neighbors, every convenience store is full of all of that. If you don't think that people are enslaved by it, boy, oh boy, you got another thing coming. It's easy to downgrade certain groups of people. My stepdaughter was telling me the other day that where she lives down in L.A., the poorer districts, just about all the stores, are loaded with really low-quality, low-grade food with tons of additives in it. Think about it. Isn't that kind of, I mean, not only is it enslaving, but what it's doing is making the people, your brains get listless. We talked about moving your thinking and your subjective world into a peaceful world. It's really hard for me to do anyway when I've got a lot of those additives in me. Now that I don't do them much at all, I can really tell. I get nervous. I get a little bit crazy. I can't concentrate. Watch people's road rage and stuff. There's a real enslavement with that. And somebody is making a lot of money on it. I wonder who that is. And then we have politics. We have people that it's very, very common for us to say, well, politicians never tell the truth anyway. And, I mean, how many times have you heard that? And then we hear stories about, actually, it's hard to draw the line. It's hard to draw a box around politics and media as separate things because, for example, when Clinton was having his Monica Lewinsky thing, I can't remember what the political issues were at the time, but there were some really major overseas dominations going on. There was some pretty difficult war things going on, and most of the media presentation of the political reality was about Clinton's sexual life. Now, I don't really exonerate or I don't really condone his behavior. But since time began, powerful men seem to be doing that kind of thing, even powerful women. So I'm not sure if that should have taken the prime news and taught the little kids how to do all that sort of stuff. But isn't that interesting that the media's marketing is something I think is enslavement, actually. Media marketing would choose that first and foremost. I mean, I think that's really something that takes our brain and whirls it all over the place. Let's see. Then we've got drugs, pharmaceuticals. Everybody knows that the pharmaceuticals are making a fortune right now that the doctors don't quite know what they're all about. I think there's some big changes going out there in medicine. But we know that the doctors become the great marketers for these drugs that then create addictions or people's needs, and the marketplace just keeps growing. And everybody seems to know that. You know, you don't have to be particularly well-read or intelligent to assume that these days. So that, to me, is kind of an enslavement. What are we doing in a society where we don't say anything about that kind of thing that's literally pulling the guts out of our ability to create? And you know, we're such feisty beings that it's not pulling the guts out of it, is it? People are beginning to rise above it more and more. And then we've got programming by DNA. We've got all kinds of other things as well that we could say enslave us. I'm saying media, food supply, politics, drugs, and other things. Then we've got all this stuff about whether or not we're an experimental species created by the Syrians and the Pleiadians to see if we could ever get to a point of we can evolve enough to get to a point of creating our own reality and using our freedom of our free choice, our free spirit. Can we do it? I wonder if we really have been programmed. And I watch so many people kind of collapse and burn out from around 75 and beyond. I go, I guess that's where our programs, instead of thinking, oh, it's just old age, and as, okay, we're programmed to go that far. But it seems like at this time in history, we're actually learning to deprogram, whether it's our DNA or cellular structure and so on. So that's been, I guess it would be kind of an enslavement, wouldn't it? The enslavement, sort of, or at least it's a we've got definitions of our lives and our life cycle that we're looking at right now. Instead of being defined, we're wanting to unhook those. It's kind of an exciting time in which we're living. Now, with some of the things, one of the things on inside of us that keeps us really enslaved, and you can go ahead and call if you'd like. One of the things inside us that keeps us really enslaved is fear. Ha! How many ways are we afraid? And fear, as we said, from the media, or even politics, or even economics, or even the food supply, fear is pumped in us. Even the food supply makes it easier for us to be afraid and anxious. Anxiety comes from a lot of the influences that hit us. So inside, we let ourselves be afraid, and we let ourselves be anxious about money, about death, about aloneness, isolation, rejection, abandonment. We make ourselves really just wild with fear about physical pain and emotional pain. We have ways of judging ourselves internally and externally. We have ways of, again, holding on to past identities and keeping ourselves limited. And that's really some of the biggest enslavements that are going to go on, aren't they? So if we go back into the sacred geometrics and we get that flow going, it's really important to let the flow carry out the flotsam and jetsam of things that frighten us about who we are and about what we've been and about where we're going. You can be, you can be very trapped, say, in death row, but you can actually be freed in there and have a sense of the ongoing process in your life and the divine love that comes to you. I mean, there are a lot of ways for us to become free of these things. Oh, goody, we have a caller. You're on the air. Are you afraid?
Yes. Sometimes. It's funny how you're talking about that today, because my question kind of has a lot to do with that.
Okay, good. What's your name?
Tanya.
Hi, Tanya.
Hi.
Are you from D.C.?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I recognize you. Yeah, hello.
Hi.
So what's your question, darling?
My question is, for quite a few years in my 20s, I used to have night terrors where I used to actually get out of bed, running around my apartment, screaming, crying. My boyfriend at the time would say that my eyes were open, but he said it definitely wasn't me. And then the next morning, I'd never remember any of this. From that point on, I started sleeping with a nightlight for about 10 years and just stopped at the beginning of this year. But last night, it was the first time I was actually kind of afraid to go to sleep. And I didn't feel right. And I was just wondering if you can enlighten me on any of that.
Well, it's interesting. Did you have a lot of abuse, like 3 or 4 years old?
I don't remember that time period.
So do you think you had any abuse at all? Here's what it looks like to me, is it looks like you had some big shocks, very violent things that happened when you were very young. And then it shows that there were that there's like programs that come up. Now, we talked about, I don't like saying this, tend to be kind of nice, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway, you tended for a while to attract, it's not demonic, it's just somebody who, beings who liked to trigger this hidden terror dynamic that came from being a little girl. And I think that's what you went through in your 20s, late 20s mostly, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And you also, were you drinking a lot or something? Because you had a lot of blood sugar stuff going on at that
point.
Oh,
yeah.
Blood
sugar stuff. I wasn't drinking like alcohol like yesterday, but way back in the day I used to drink a lot.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about your late 20s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely then. Oh, boy, yeah.
Okay. So I'm glad that that came up, because that's one of the ways to keep ourselves enslaved as well, because that when the blood sugar fluctuations come, it's really easy to trigger the release. I mean, first it dumbs things and dulls things, and then it just creates such a release of a tyrannical, somewhere between craving, terror. There's some really deep things that come up in it. It looks like your brain pattern already had a lot of trauma in it, and a lot of it got triggered then.
Mm-hmm.
But then I see these beings around you. You have very strong guidance, but you also have some beings of a lesser form around you as well that were probably, let's put it in a ghoulish way and say they were eating those vibrations, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's stuff I don't normally talk about, but because I just saw Ike, I'm talking about it, okay?
Okay.
Are you scared? Don't be scared.
No. Is there anything that I need to be worried about at this time? Anything that's on me or in my space that needs to be, like, rid of?
No, but what I will say about you is that you've got some frequencies. Now, remember this, ladies and gentlemen. We're all frequency. We're entire frequencies. You know that, right? And you are in motion inside, and the frequencies on the planet are moving up. You've had three or four kind of, not shocking, but really rapid changes over the last short period of time. And it's jerking some deep frequencies of trauma up through your body mind. You see what I mean? They're kind of moving up on through. So you may find yourself a little wobbly and a little precarious feeling over the next maybe only 2 or 3 days.
Okay.
And it will bring up some funny fears and some funny, probably not. Did you have a night sweat last night? Looks like a night sweat or two.
Well, I have those, like, just about every night. Really, really, really bad ones. Like, I soak the bed.
Do you nightmare? Are you in menopause?
No, I'm not in menopause.
Okay.
I've already been checked.
What's that?
I've already been checked, and I'm not in menopause, no.
Okay, well, I always have to check that. But to me, you've got trauma that's moving out of your body. You're in a cleansing, purification thing. There's some shuddering things going through the brain as if you're moving frequencies out. And I think that you're in a cleansing. And can you get to like a sauna or a steam bath?
Yes, I can.
And can you do like an Epsom salts bath? I look at you and I want to dip you in all these different things and honor the fact that you're actually dumping a lot more stuff. You're very much an intuitive. You're very much a healer. You're being pushed to release a ton of things that came with you in this life and came from early childhood and then came from your defensive approaches when you were younger, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
So I'm not too worried about it. I just feel like in probably a week or so, you're going to feel freer and lighter than you felt for a long time.
Well, that's nice to know.
But looking at you, I'd go, boy, oh boy, I'd want to go and have some, you know, I'd want to do something every day, at least one thing. And they're not bad things. They're really nice things, to have an Epsom salt bath, to have a sauna, to laugh, to dance.
Yeah.
Stuff like that moves it on out of your body. Do you have a boyfriend right now?
No.
Is there a man around as your friend?
Yes.
Good. Because I get some laughter, some funny, silly talk, lighthearted things. It's like you need to take yourself lightly because this stuff is reverberating through your body.
Okay.
It's not that bad at night, I don't think, compared to what you went through before.
No, but last night was just the first time where it's just like, whoa, I haven't felt like this for a long time, where I actually asked Archangel Michael to completely protect me because there's just something didn't feel right.
Well, and just ask him to continue the clearing process because, Tanya, I think you're about to step into your healing work in a big way.
Yeah, I can feel it too. Something shifting, something big shifting afoot, that's for sure.
But, you know, one of the things that you just said that was really great is this thing came up last night and you had all these experiences way back. This is how fear gets triggered. We go, oh, crap, I'm going back into this.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm that way again. And then we start grabbing the identity. Don't do it. Say, it's moving through. Get it to flow through. Get it to flow through. that make sense?
Just like a river.
It is just like a river, and boy, oh boy, can it scour the containment called you.
No kidding.
Anyway, let us know. Call in and let us know about your healing work, and we'll send light to you. And remember,
thanks,
don't
so
be afraid. You're well protected.
Okay. Thank you so much,
Jessica.
Veronica.
Oh, thank you. Bye. Well, that's a pretty good subject on how we go from having something trigger a memory, because she could go into fear. She's not going to. She's got a lot of consciousness, that girl. But she could go into fear and hang into that a little longer than she wants, you know, familiar pain. The best thing to do is then go in there and take a look at your identities again. What am I attached to? What did I experience before? I'm not that, clear it out. And then, you know, I like the one where you take a spiraling platinum light or a gold light and swish it right up through the body, scouring all the way through and clear these off. And I like that she called in St. Michael. Or Michael the Archangel. Let's see, where was I? Fear and anxiety, pain and emotional. Okay, we'll talk about that. One of the things that drives fear very often is your subconscious or your shadow self. That's the stuff that's hidden. And you know, in a lot of our work, and with my guides and angels, the kind of work that I do and a lot of us do, Jackie that I work with right after this in ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness, a lot of our work is dedicated to bringing up what's in the subconscious, old shadow patterns that are hidden in there and come up. And like in Tanya's case, she's been through, and a lot of you, we've been through life and death. I used to call it, as a writer, life and death and 50 cents. It's all about like getting somewhere, but deep in the subconscious, we have all kinds of memories of ways we've died, ways we've been brutalized, ways we've brutalized others. We have all kinds of this awareness of what it's like on the planet. I know this, that we are also aware at a deep subconscious level of what it feels like to be intensely brutalized and persecuted in other parts of the world simultaneously, because we're all one, you know. So we're actually feeling a lot of things that other people are feeling. So very often, it's really important, instead of maintaining our fear, to go in and call up that fear and let it come up from the subconscious. Hand it, and hand it to our higher selves or our guides and angels and move it through, or bring up what's in your, you know, maybe something like defensiveness or brutal thoughts or whatever that you have yourself. Be one with all people. Bring those things up and feel them, and then hand them over to your higher guidance, whoever you call that. And you can actually really lighten your load. Swish yourself out again with light. Swish yourself out with light. And then it's time for us to create with our mind's eye what it is we prefer. So, for example, we hear about the economic climate being once again challenged by the powers that be, and people are shaking in their boots. It's really important to bring up the feeling of shaking in our boots. Bring it up. I'm scared stiff. We're all going to be broke, blah, blah, blah. And hear all these stories about what's going to come up. Bring it up. Feel it in your body. Exaggerate it. And then command total release. And then create how your resources come to you. Resources come to you in all ways, shapes, and forms. And watch yourself magnetize the supports that you need in order to create the projects in your mind and your heart, in order to sustain your life. I'm not being glib and simplistic. I mean, I know in certain rational ways we may all have to pitch in and help each other, but it doesn't mean we won't be able to attract the resources we need to have the life that we want that's very fulfilling. So you have time to call in. One more caller, 888-815-9756, and talk about your own approach to releasing fear. And remember that power, I'll make this fast actually because I want to talk about next week's show. Power, our greatest power comes in, if we talk about being enslaved, which is how I started this show, our greatest power comes in going inside and again releasing our attachments, Release, release, release. My guides always say is about 90% of the job or 95% of the job. And then recreating our approach, our attitude, how we see things, how we feel ourselves, finding out the unworthinesses and so on inside. Who am I to have what I want? Well, who are you not to? And how to call up all of those feelings and then empower your attitude and empower your heart and get out of your worried mind, because that doesn't do a darn thing except empower your ability to weaken your knees. And one of the greatest meditations, I'm going to repeat this, and other people who come on as guests on Paradigm Shifters will talk about it as well, get right into who am I? And find out all the ways you've been externally identified, and just see if that's the way you want to remain identified, and release your attachment to those. Because of all the ways we release our attachments, we release ourselves to become empowered and to empower our visions and the concepts and ideals that we want to create on this planet or off. Because we don't get out of this alive, you know, but I always believe we take a lot of our consciousness with us. All right, so nobody's going to call in, so I'm going to tell you about next week's show on Paradigm Shifters, Tuesday at 8 o'clock. I have a wonderful guest. A lot of you know about Bruce Lipton, and a lot of you know about Swami Beyondananda, also Steve Berenman. That's his real name. Swami is his alter ego, as he says, his other self. We're having Swami on, or Steve Berenman's going to be on at 8 o'clock on Tuesday night. He and Bruce Lipton co-wrote a book called Spontaneous Evolution. So I think his website is called wakeuplaughing.com if you want to check it out, or you can look up Swami Beyondananda and take a look at him. But he is, Steve Berenman is actually really brilliant. His assessments of the political drives, and I always think it's how, like we're talking about fear, we're talking about enslavement and so on. His perceptions of the drives in humanity that are kind of penetrating us at this time and leading us in many ways, those are pretty astute. He's a very, very bright man. So he's going to come on, talk about his book, Spontaneous Evolution, and the week after we're going to have Bruce Lipton also doing that. But they're both very, very different people, and they're together. They put a very broad spectrum of approach into understanding our life and our personal empowerment. So join us next week at 8 o'clock for Steve Berenman. I think you guys are going to get a big kick out of him. Next week on Tuesdays, Bob said, I forgot to say which day it is. Tuesday, because Paradigm Shifters changed times, and it's Tuesday from 8 to 9 West Coast time. And remember, check out the archives. We're on Live 365 now. All of the archives are running one after the other on Live 365. You'll be able, if it's not, oh, it's on my website right now. All right, and right after this, I'm going to be talking with Jackie Salvitti, and they're talking, oh, I can't remember what they were talking about tonight. We've been working very hard on ET healing and explorations in consciousness with getting in touch with our own personal power, and very often Jackie's team, her channel beings, and they're just wonderful beings, so loving, have been working layer by layer by layer to move those substratas of consciousness that have held us pinned on the planet for centuries, and they're just carrying on to do the same thing. So I'm really looking forward to that show tonight, and I'm privileged. I get to ask questions. That's going to be exciting. You know what? I'm wrong. Next week is not Steve Berenman. He's coming on the week after, on the 29th. Who's coming on next week is Galexis, channeled by Ginger Mitreau. Galexis is a wonderful coalescence of beings who also, the channeled beings, and they also move layers and layers of the old consciousness through our being, so our species gets to rise above the primordial stew that we've all been working our way through. Talk about enslavement. It's not really enslavement, but we were programmed to go through all these levels and levels of vibrational reality. And things are moving awfully fast on the planet right now. And I'm really sure that, and my guides will say this as well, that we're actually able to move ourselves right out of a lot of the programming and become beings who truly are blessed about being able to create the reality we want. So use the sacred geometric structures, use your mind, use your heart, use your clearing, and use your communities, and let's change the reality together. So I'll say goodnight for tonight, and let's all take a breath and call in some beautiful universal frequencies. Move them in through the top of your head and send love out through your heart to one another in the Radiance by Design community. And I'll see you at the top of the hour with Jackie Salvitti. Oops, my name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor. If you've got ideas for the shows, email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. If you'd like a session, if you'd like to suggest guests for the shows or subjects or any feedback on the shows, I love to hear from you. Good night and many blessings.